broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Sam in studio, Kurt on the road. We are live for Thanksgiving. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, Thanksgiving a little early this year. Usually it's around the 25th, 6th, 7th kind of range. Thanksgiving early on the 23rd this year. Kurt, you with me?
Yes, I am, Sam.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, and the same to you, sir.
All right, last hour, we talked about Sam and Kurt live. Happy Thanksgiving. We talked about the ex-boyfriend of Roy Moore's accuser, says he doesn't even believe her. Happy Thanksgiving from the Moore family, Roy Moore family, Roy and Kayla Moore, sending out an email to a lot of the supporters and Team Moore, if you will, and on Twitter, really talking about God, family, and country, as are we on Thanksgiving. We talked about your favorite radio hits may go silent because the songwriters are wanting a bigger piece of the pie on Thanksgiving. But we talked about several things. Why are we having these divisions? And we gave an example of in war, oftentimes you hear stories of people kind of laying down their weapons and taking a little bit of break, a little bit of peace on Christmas following the Prince of Peace. And can we do the same thing for Thanksgiving around our dinner tables today? Can we avoid controversy? And so I wrote a couple of things that I think that we really want to kind of challenge people or invite people to really focus on today. How many things can you find right with the world today? Question mark. How many things can you find to agree with others about? Think about that. How many things can you find to agree with others about today? How many things can you find that are right with the world today? Will you count your many blessings all day long for Thanksgiving? It's kind of the question on our minds today. And you know what? I pray for our enemies. I pray for those who persecute us, Kurt. I pray for those who despitefully use us and who bear false witness or create libel or slander or whatever. I hope that we can set aside any differences today and say, you know what, I pray they have a happy, safe Thanksgiving. And I pray that we all can turn our hearts toward Christ, our hearts towards family, our hearts towards how grateful we are for the freest country on the face of the earth. And what's interesting is over the years in my life, I've kind of had the opportunity to participate in a lot of really positive things relating to God, family, and country. And I've been so blessed about that in my life. And I can't remember who or where or any of the things that I got this, but somebody gave a religious talk. And Kurt might even know who, but I can't remember. I don't have as good of a memory as Kurt does. But all I know is somebody gave a talk and they gave an example of somebody who was a prisoner of war, a POW. And as a POW, they were given the chance. They were given the chance to write 25 words. And they were able to send those 25 words to their family, and they knew that it would be scrutinized by the guards before it ever got sent out, but they were permitted to write 25 words. And I know I've shared this with Kurt before and some of you in the audience, but I haven't shared it with everybody. But for Thanksgiving, I think it's appropriate for me to bring this out. And so I looked up the 25 words that I wrote. And so when I heard this talk about this prisoner of war who was given a chance to write 25 words, the religious leader that spoke about this kind of said, hey, what would you write if you were given 25 words? What 25 words would you use if that was all you were permitted to write? And I first thought about this, and I thought, you know, what would be my focus, number one? Who would I write it to, number two? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, I'd first want to write my wife. I mean, on earth, she's the most dear to me of anyone. There's nobody in this world above my wife on the earth. Well, I would want to write to my God. I mean, my relationship with my God is first, I thought. So I thought, well, if I wrote it to God, if I wrote it to my wife, well, wait, my children. I'd run right to my children and let them know the legacy of their father, or the belief systems that I have. I'd want to make sure they never forgot it, that it was, I don't know if you call it canonized, but if it was written down and codified, or, stated so clearly, it's not questioned or could never be lost. And so I thought, man, I'd like to write it to the world. I'd like the whole world to know what I think and what I'm grateful for, or what matters to me. What 25 words would I articulate? And so, believe it or not, I took this religious leader to heart. And when they asked, what 25 words would you use? Would you write if you were given the opportunity? And I thought about that. And I thought of so many things. I thought, well, I'm so grateful I'm not a prisoner of war. I thought of things that I was grateful for. I thought of things that I appreciated. I thought of things that I wanted people to know. I went through literally a several day excruciating reflective exercise about what I would write, about what I would say, about who I would want my message to go to, about what I would say to them and why I would say that, and how do I make sure that I don't waste a single word. And I came to the conclusion that I would use tiny two-word phrases or three-word phrases that would articulate what I was thinking and why, and what meant to me. Why? Because if you say single words, it's very hard to put them in any context. If you use anything longer than two or three word little things, then you waste too many of your words, right? And so I thought, well, if I have two or three words, if I had two words and there's 25 of them, I'd get, 12 words and a leftover word, or 12 little statements and a leftover word. If I use three words, I'd get eight. So now you take 25 words and you boil it down to, 10, 15, 20 topics maybe, or areas of focus. And I really spent a lot of time on this thing, Kurt. And I reflected on it, and I thought about it, and I came up with the 25 words. And I don't know if you want to say that it's kind of like Sam's governing values, or if you want to say it's Sam's summary of his life, or an articulation of what's important, or Sam's personal creed. I don't know what you want to call the thing, but I did write these 25 words, and it's exactly 25 words. No more, no less. I used every word. I did my very best to use every word as judiciously and as meaningfully as I possibly could. And I know someone's going to say, Sam, what, you are the weirdest guy on the planet. What are you taking a religious talk, something that the guy kind of meant as rhetorical? Why are you spending days on this thing and making it so important to you? I mean, what gives with this, Sam? I mean, you're not a prisoner of war. You got plenty to eat. What is your deal? And I thought, this is a refining process for me to really discover in my life, in my world, for me, what is the most important? What is important to me? And how do I make sure that others know what's important to me? And so I went on this journey. I went on this odyssey. I went on this Thanksgiving-type focus. I kind of wrapped the 4th of July and Thanksgiving and Christmas and all my favorite holidays all into one and said, man. And so I put this list of 25 words together. And if this was all I was permitted to give you or say or write or whatever, what would it be? And my headline says, Sam's best efforts. Kurt, I took my best stab at this. And I'm not telling you mine's perfect. I'm not even a very good writer. Many people say, Sam, you talk way too much. I agree. You're right. Sam, you can't listen to others. You need to learn to have two ears and one mouth and use them proportionately. I've been told that all my life. They're right as rain. I agree. But I am a talk show host. I do have the gift of gab, and I did spend my time to put together what I thought was the most important 25 words ever that to me. Now, they may be different for you, but I would like to kind of throw down the gauntlet and issue a challenge to each of you on Thanksgiving to reflect and to say, what would those 25 words be for you? And if you do a good job, instead of just kind of passing it off or ignoring it or saying, oh, the religious leader who kind of threw this out was doing it kind of in a rhetorical sense, you can dismiss it easily, right? But if you really double down and take the time and make this important, what would those 25 words be? I got mine done, and I'm going to share them with you right after the break. What do you think of this, Kurt? Is it kind of a crazy exercise in futility? Some would say I'm just wasting my time and I'm too reflective to no good, Kurt.
Well, from what I can see, you're focused on the right ideas, focused on what you would basically, it's almost like what you'd want on your headstone or what, you know, few words, 25 words you'd want to be remembered by. I think that's very good for Thanksgiving.
All right, Sam's best efforts coming up. You'll hear the 25 words that I painstakingly wrote and I've given to my family, to my loved ones, and I'm giving to the world. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live for Thanksgiving. By the way, that's two words, Thanksgiving. Think about the meaning in that.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, here it goes, ladies and gentlemen. What 25 words would Sam use? If that was all I was permitted, let's say that I was a prisoner of war, let's say that I needed to get out 25 words to my family. I thought so many things as I put this together. I painstakingly worked on this literally for days because I thought, man, you know, I would want them to know that I'm alive. And I would want the words to be so unique in my writing because, look, they could say that I'm alive and send, oh, here's Sam's 25 words and he's really dead. And they could say that I'm alive, right? My family wouldn't really know. But if those who knew me read the 25 words, they would know from my life, from the way I live, from who I am, from their associations with me, whether personally in my family, whether my spouse, whether my colleagues at work, whether my, you know, friends at work or church or people who listen to me on the radio, people who have heard or seen me publicly speak, whether live or on video or audio or whatever, anybody who's had any association with me, that they would say, you know what, there's no way some prison guards wrote these words for Sam. He is alive. Those are absolutely his words. I thought about all this. All right. Without further ado, here's the 25 words that I would use. Again, they are in 2- and 3-word phrases because I think it provides so much more power and clarity. Even though I end up with less ideas from my 25 words than I would if I used single words or longer phrases. I kind of picked the middle. Every one of them is either 2 or 3 words, providing the most amount of clarity, the most amount of topics, the most amount that I could possibly get. Now, these 25 words are not in order of importance at all. And because I believe every single word is so important that I don't think you can leave one of them out, and I don't think that they can be prioritized as importance. Although I did my best to even prioritize them in the order that I think they relate of importance. But let's not count on the importance factor, if you will, because it's just impossible to do that, right? It's too short of a list to do. All right, so here's the 25 words, Kurt. You ready? Keep the commandments. That's three of them. Keep the commandments. In that three-word phrase, I'm one, in my personal opinion, testifying of God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is on the earth, and it's important that we pay attention to our God. It puts God first. It lets you know that I believe in him, and I know we need to behave. We need to follow his commandments. And it also articulates downstream from those three words of keep the commandments that I know we'll be blessed if we do. And I believe this is an individual, a family, and a nationwide clarion call. Three words, keep the commandments. Those are my three words that I would give you to start this off. Next, I would say, remember Jesus. Because, you know, even an atheist can keep the Ten Commandments. Now, you could say, well, if they're an atheist, how? Well, we can debate how somebody worships. But when you remember Jesus, it not only says that I believe in God, but I believe in a Christian viewpoint, that I'm Christian. Keep the commandments, remember Jesus. And you could say, Sam, you don't need both of those. And I would say that I do. Because not only are you saying keep the commandments of God, that there is a God, but he does have a son, Jesus Christ, who literally lived, died on the cross, and was resurrected. And that we can live again as a result of the sacrifice, the atonement of Jesus Christ. So I believe those two are separate and critical. Keep the commandments, remember Jesus. I've used five words of my 25. Forgive completely. Those are two more. Now I'm at seven words. Forgive completely. Because I believe repentance is important. But I think it's important that we forgive. Because isn't it the other side of the coin of repentance? Forgive completely. Because I believe if you don't forgive, it only hurts yourself. We're taught by the Savior himself, it is up to you to forgive all men. And then God says, but you know, I will forgive whom I will forgive, but for you it's to forgive all men. And that means women too, by the way. But forgive completely. And the reason I put completely there is you can't just forgive and say you've forgiven but hold something back. Forgive completely means you got to completely let it go. Pray always. Because I believe that prayer is your passport to spirituality. If you want God to speak to you, it starts by humbly speaking to him and opening up that two-way communication, which I do believe it's two-way. God can inspire you with feelings and thoughts and gratitude and inspiration. So pray always are two of them. The next one, follow the Spirit. It's three words. But remember, the saints of God can receive the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost can protect us and guide us, inspire us, encourage us. The list goes out. So follow the Spirit. Then repent daily. That's the other side of forgive completely. But it's to repent daily. I believe if we repent daily and do our very best to get right with God, the atonement takes care of the rest after all we can do. The next one, serve willingly. I believe the way we get close to God is by serving our fellow man. And you got to do it willingly. That's the reason for these other words that I've added, the two phrase words. You got to repent. Daily tells you that I'm saying it's a consistent all the time thing. Pray always. Not just pray, but pray always. Forgive completely. Don't just forgive and hold something back and pretend you've forgiven, but do it completely. Repent daily. Serve willingly. We're not talking about just serve with a bad attitude or once in a while. Serve willingly suggests all the time and do it with a cheerful heart. The next one, say thank you. Now you can say that's a little one, Sam. That's not that important, is it? I say that it is. Because it not only creates gratitude in the person who says thank you, But they say a soft answer turneth away wrath in the scriptures. When you say thank you, people don't get tired of serving you. They go, you know what? You're welcome. I'm glad to do it. No, thank you, they respond, right? I know it's a simple thing, but I'm telling you right now, you kind of wonder if you were to add say thank you to marriages and they were to say, you know, thank you to each other as spouses, how many marriages wouldn't end in divorce compared to how many do now? Just that two words. Now, I have three words. Say thank you, because the point is to express it, right? But all I'm telling you is thank you. If it were expressed, if people were to say thank you in marriages and in families, you wonder what that alone could do for a change, for good. The next one, love others. You know, it's one thing to say I love God and I love Christ and then spend your time feuding with others all the time. But love others means to have kind of a Christ-like love. If you start to forgive completely, pray always, say thank you, serve willingly, you begin to love others. And I don't know anything better. You know, they say that charity is kind of the most important of all of them. And I think love others is the Christ-like love we're talking about. It doesn't say who, though. It doesn't say if their skin color is different, then they're not included. Or if they're male or female or Republican or Democrat or black or white or tall or short. It doesn't give any qualifiers. It just says love others. That means by nature all others, right? The next one, return with honor. And I put those three words because if I was a prisoner of war or whatever, I would pray that I would return with honor, that I wouldn't do anything that would betray my name, my faith, my family, my freedom, my country, my God. Return with honor. And that also talks about our mortal journey, where I believe that we came from our God and we'll return to our God. And you know what? When you get to the judgment bar of Jesus Christ, we want to return with honor. I hope that we can look our Savior Jesus Christ in the eye and say, I did my best. And he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done well. So return with honor is key. And you could say, Sam, a lot of these words point to the same thing. They do, but it creates a much more all-encompassing focus in my mind, which is God, family, and country. The last word, smile. And you would say, Sam, why'd you include that? Because it encompasses so much. If you're smiling, you're laughing. If you're laughing, you're not taking life too seriously. If you're genuinely laughing, you're appreciating those around you. You're spending time with people. You can't really laugh without gratitude. You can't really laugh without forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
You can't really laugh, and it goes on and on and on. When we come back, I'll highlight the words once again. I'll read them one more time all in a row without my explanation really quick. They're only 25 words. It won't take very long. Then Sam and Kurt will discuss them. We'll get Kurt's take on a couple of things. Then we'll move into some of the movies that we like to watch for Thanksgiving and where we like to spend our time. And by the way, it's not shopping. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Fun to game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free
vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, what 25 words would I write? Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the commandments. Remember Jesus. Forgive completely. Pray always. Follow the Spirit. Repent daily. Serve willingly. Say thank you. Love others. Return with honor. Smile. Those are the 25 words I would use. And in my humble opinion, it's the best stab I can make at the 25 words. Now, there's a lot of other words that I could use, but I thought of, you know, God, family, and country. I thought of my life. I thought what I'd want the most, my God to know. The people dearest and closest to me, my wife, my children, on to the world and to anybody, even what I would like my enemies to know. You know what? Enemies, that's what's in my heart. That's who I am. That's what I absolutely believe in. And I painstakingly for days thought about so many words. And I thought it's impossible to get this down to 25 for Sam. You know, that makes sense, right? And I did my very best. And after as much painstaking work as I could put into it, those are what I've come up with. All right, Kurt, there you have it. For my Thanksgiving, I would say those are my 25 words.
Well, it's certainly a tough act to follow, Sam. And I, you know, as I think about them and listen to them and hear your comments about them, I don't really even come up with any additional ones to add. I mean, I just, you've covered the, I was going to say waterfront so well, but you've covered it from top to bottom, side to side, and it's very impressive. You know, it shows the kind of intuitive thinker that you are.
And you know, it reminds me a little bit of the Ten Commandments. On one hand, it doesn't take, you know, we spend hours on the radio and talk, and people write long articles. It's amazing how simple things can be boiled down to when you really put it through the I don't know what you want to call it, the strainer, the compressor, the reality checker. The Ten Commandments are very simple, but I don't really see what you can do wrong without breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Well, I look at the 25 words that I wrote, and I almost think, what aspect of your life will it not put in harmony with where it needs to be to return to God, to be true to your family, to your country, to have respect for your friends and family and loved ones, and to even have dignity and kindness towards your enemies. And so that's kind of another aspect that I looked at when I went through this. I said, how can I make the 25 words be so encompassing that there's nothing that it leaves out? Even though obviously I'm sure I've left something out. I'm only human. But is there a way that I can kind of encompass everything? Meaning if you apply these 25 words, what would it not cover? And I did my very best. I had an English teacher one time when I was like in fourth or fifth grade, and we always used to say, how long does it have to be? And the answer was long enough, like a girl's skirt, long enough to cover the subject and short enough to keep it interesting. I even tried to put that kind of idea in place. And so, you know, hey, I know it's far from a perfect document, but it does, at least in my opinion, reveal my heart to the world about what I think and believe and why and what matters to me and what makes me tick and who I am and what I think's important. And I want my kids to have a copy of this. And I want people to understand Sam's 25 most important words. There they are. That's what I would do. Because I try to look at it and I say, what really could, if you applied those 25 words, what in your life could go wrong? Or what in your life could you not draw from those 25 words to right the ship, if you will? If you get off course, or if you lose your way or whatever, you know, I think those 25 words could bring you back into harmony where you need to be. And anyway, that was one of my great intents, is to say, what if somebody else that I knew were to apply the 25 words? What if I just died and they all got long and forgotten, and 10 generations down the road, somebody looked at those words? What would it do in their life if they applied them, if they took them seriously, if they took them as important as I have? And said, hey, this man, what about my enemy? What if somebody who is my complete, absolute mortal enemy, which I don't even know that I have a lot of mortal enemies. I've got a lot of disagreements politically and other things, but I believe we're all God's children. I really don't have a lot of mortal enemies. I guess Satan and his followers would be my mortal enemies, okay? But because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and they're diametrically opposed, then we're continuing the war in heaven, right? But I still believe they can change even if they're on the wrong side. But what in those words could, if somebody were to take those, is there any negative or anything that it would not help them? And so I even kind of put it through that sifter, if you will, or that reality check. You know, I tried to run a bunch of different reality checks on it from different perspectives to see. Anyway, enough of my 25 words, but I really took the exercise seriously. And I think it religiously and morally and from a purpose-driven life or a morality-driven life, whatever you want to call it, I think it really boiled down for me in my personal quest. You know, sometimes they say that the person that teaches a class learns the most. I guess that applies to me in this case, Kurt.
Well, that's always the case, at least in my opinion. Whenever I've been the teacher, you know, it's always been that I felt like I benefited the most. You know, and one of the things that I would say that maybe add to the Thanksgiving Day broadcast is the real reason that we have the Thanksgiving Day in America that so many people have missed out on because of our, I believe some, you mentioned enemies, those who are the enemies of God and that kind of thing don't want the real message of Thanksgiving to be brought forward. And it has to do with the early settlers, or some of the earliest settlers in our country, the Pilgrims, and their what happened to them, how they were seeking religious freedom from the oppression that they had, that they were under in England, and how they first went to Holland to try to find a place where they could worship I guess you could say, under the dictates of their own conscience. And later they, about 40 of them with a number of other individuals boarded a pretty, you know, basic kind of a piece of transportation, a ship, to cross the sea and come to America. When they did, they because of some of the agreements of the passage, were forced to put everything that they produced into one thing. The one of the earliest incidents of socialism in America, the people nearly starved to death. And as a result of that, the leader there, William Bradford, made the decision along with others, and I believe the encouragement of God, to introduce what I would call the free enterprise system and the God's way of looking at things. And so the people were each told that, hey, now instead of you putting everything into one big kitty where we all share it, you'll be given a certain area, and whatever you do with it, you know, whatever the fruits of your labors are, they'll be yours. Because of that, they thrived, and they did have a level of government, pretty small level, especially compared to today's world. We encourage the return to that kind of government, and the also the reflection on how they lived. And of course, the main thing they did was they thanked their God for restoring and protecting them and helping them through those tough times. And that's the real story of Thanksgiving.
Amen to that, Kurt. Let's talk about some movies we like to watch for the holidays and what we like to do. I want to talk about a little bit of traditions that we have for Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holiday season before it's over. But I tend to take too much time. So I want you to go first, and I'll take up the remainder, as opposed to the opposite. I'll take up the whole time and won't give you any time. I won't mean to, but that'll just happen. So why don't we start with you? What movies, what traditions do you advocate for or participate in for Thanksgiving, sir, and Christmas and just the holidays in general?
Well, to me, the one problem with Thanksgiving and Christmas is they're too close to each other. Now, I don't mean that I don't like them. It's just that it seems like it'd be good to spread them out a little bit. I'd pretty much eliminate Halloween and possibly move Thanksgiving, closer to that date myself. But that's just because we need to focus more on Thanksgiving and the Christ child and that kind of thing, in my opinion.
All right, quick pause. More from Kurt and Sam in seconds. We're talking about movies and traditions for Thanksgiving. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. How many talk show hosts do that on Thanksgiving, huh? We do, because we consider you family.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSHERTIFIED.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so we're talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas traditions and things that you like to do. And part of this just has to do with a little bit of fun. Part of it has to do with, you know, family and what we do. I think traditions for families are very important, and traditions for Americans are very important, and that's why we focus on it. Did you have more on this, Kurt?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, we do have a large family. Even some would say we're, you know, cause of the whole global warming thing, et cetera. But, you know, we enjoy getting together. If you're talking about the exact day of Thanksgiving, getting together with as many of our family as we can to greet them, to be with them. And, of course, we, you know, do enjoy, like, for me, when it comes to a good turkey, I've never had a fried turkey, and yet I've been told several times that, you know, the taste is wonderful. Of course, almost anything fried that I've ever tasted tastes great, so I'm looking forward to that someday, but I don't think today will be a fried turkey. As far as I know, what we're talking about is the traditional way of cooking it, the baked turkey, and we'll have all the trimmings. You know, when you have a big family, all you do is just kind of farm everything out so that everybody gets to do something. And when you add it all together, man, it's pretty impressive. In the last most of my life, during Thanksgiving, I've been in what you'd call cooler climes, if you will, where, you know, maybe if you got to the 40s during the day, you were kind of feeling like it was a warm one. Whereas the last couple of years, we've spent more time in the, I guess you could say, warmer zones because we have some children that live there. And so we visited and enjoyed, well, we actually even ate Thanksgiving dinner outdoors. Which was never something we did when I was growing up, unless you, I guess, we didn't ever do it, but you'd have to be put in a parka or something just to survive it. But anyway, so the outdoors tradition is, you know, I've begun to enjoy that, you know, and then, of course, being all together, that you mentioned Christmas celebrations and movies. So then I would simply say this, I'll give you a tradition that I don't appreciate as much that I, you know, saw last night. I was taking a nap and I woke up to a movie called some kind of a, remember the gun running kind of stories that we've heard about them going across the border and something, what's it called? Anyway, there's a big series where they have all these guys driving cars and shooting up people and everything. That's not my idea of how to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas time. But I
Good
do,
point.
On the other hand, enjoy a whole lot of these movies. You know, It's a Wonderful Life, a great one that I enjoy almost every Christmas. If I can fit it in, Miracle on 34th Street, of course.
All right. Well, you got to love it, Kurt.
Yeah, of course, the depictions of the Savior's birth and that kind of thing. You know, those are some of the traditions, and I don't mean to take up the whole program, but I appreciate the time, Sam.
No, you're fine. I agree with every bit of those traditions. I think it's important. It's all about God, family, and country. You know, one of the things that's important to know is that, yeah, we talk about it more detailed on Thanksgiving, Christmas, around the holiday season, but really it's a 24/7, 365 and a quarter days reality for us when we talk about God, family, and country and life, liberty, and property. That's the American way. That's the way that Christians live and feel and believe. And we don't need just to bring it out for Thanksgiving and Christmas and trot it out like it's on display necessarily. But we do want to highlight those things. Two of my favorite movies around Thanksgiving and Christmas that I love to watch. One of them is called The Ultimate Gift. because I believe there's real, some valuable lessons in that movie. Plus, it's also, you know, very, very valuable. What is the ultimate gift? In this case, it was this guy learned to be humble and serve others. Instead of being selfish, he learned to be selfless. Well, anyway, it really, in my opinion, points to the ultimate gift that the Savior Jesus Christ gave each of us, which is the atonement. He gave us his life, didn't he? Okay, and so, you know, The Ultimate Gift is one of my favorite movies. Another one of my favorite movies is called The Christmas Angel. And long story short, there's this guy that's super rich, and he's just abusive to women, and he's just a business guy, and he can make money. He's a total jerk. And at some point in his life, he wakes up and changes. He repents. And he basically then spends the rest of his life serving others. And he's a big secret philanthropist. And this poor orphan girl that's all alone discovers his secret and ends up helping, and he eventually dies. I don't want to give too much of the movie away, but she carries on the tradition. And it's a love story, and it's romantic, and it's all those things. But The Ultimate Gift and The Christmas Angel and It's a Wonderful Life are three of my favorite Christmas movies for sure. Now, speaking of family traditions, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I agree. I remember when you bring them up, you know, I remember those, and you've heard of those, like the kids are talking, and they say, man, what's your favorite food? And the one kid goes, oh, I just love turkey. And then, you know, or whatever it is. And then the other kid goes, oh, you know, I'll tell you mine. And maybe he says cherry pie, and the other one goes, oh, that's mine too. And then, you know, each time. Sometimes you'll see that kind of thing. So it made me think of when you mentioned those other shows. I thought, oh, I should have said that too.
Well, we all feel that way. It's hard not to like good things, Kurt. And it's okay that we kind of learn to like the things that others like. I think that's part of our growth, is to let the goodness of each other rub off on one another. You know, the longer I hang out with Kurt, the more of his good qualities I start to adopt. And hopefully the reverse is true. And you know, we can influence each other for good and bring out things that we didn't know we liked or that we didn't realize were important. And hopefully we can start behaving and acting and thinking and believing and appreciating and things that we may not have done so before our association with others. And that's the influence we ought to have on one another. I'll tell you this. We have a family tradition starting December 1st through December 31st. We read a Christmas story every night, every single night together as a family. And we collect Christmas stories and Christmas books, and we read these stories. And I'm telling you right now, it's a tearjerker event every night, all December long. We read these stories, and we laugh, and we cry, and we together. And we have themed Christmases. That's one of our traditions, too, where we have categories of Christmas gifts. You know, something to wear, something to eat, something to anticipate. And so we'll plan something in the future, something to, you know, whatever. And so we have categories for our Christmas gift giving. The other thing we do for Christmas oftentimes is we have themed Christmases sometimes. Now, I know that the theme should be Jesus Christ, but there's one book that's our favorite called Cracked Wheat for Christmas, and we literally acted out this book. We literally rented a cabin. We went and we threaded popcorn and put it on the tree, and we got the different things they ate and things they did. Long story short, we even hunted down the author of the book and arranged for our children to meet the author of the book. And we had this whole theme, and we gave our children this basket that related to all these different things relating to this book called Cracked Wheat for Christmas. Because there's so many principles in that book that teach how to follow Christ, that teach how to change your life and how to repent and how to change direction and how to have course correction in your life. Anyway, and so we do a lot of these themed different things. And so we built a snowman, because in the book they build the snowman. And so we went outside literally at this cabin that we got, and we built a snowman just like they did. And we didn't have things for the tree. And so we did our very best, and we went and got a tree. And anyway, we did this whole interesting thing. So we do a lot of fun things. We serve others. And I can't get into that because, you know, our service is kind of secret, right? We just try to run around and do random acts of kindness that are in secret. And so I don't want to talk too much about that. But we spend our time serving others with money and time and efforts. I remember one year we went Christmas caroling to an old folks home. And we do those things. And so the whole reason we tell you this is not to say that we're more important than anybody else or that things that we do are right or better than anybody else. All we're trying to say is we love these seasons. We love these opportunities. We are grateful for all that we have. At Thanksgiving and Christmas is a special time to really reflect and be grateful, and hopefully a time to influence others to do the same. And if you hate Christmas, I would go turn to the 25 words that I focused on and say, you know what, apply some of those words and see if it improves things for you. Would you please? Turn to the scriptures. Turn to Christ. Turn to things that matter most. And I would say to our enemies, hey, maybe you ought to think about applying some of the things that we're teaching and talking about on the radio. Okay? Thanksgiving and Christmas traditions are very, very, very important. And we wanted to spend time this Thanksgiving to spend with you and tell you we love you, to tell you we're appreciative for all that you do for God, family, and country. And if you don't do things for God, family, and country, we pray that you start. And if you disagree with us on just about everything, and you're listening to find defense at a word or to do whatever, to write articles about us in the negative, I hope that you'll take a day off and spend time with your family. And maybe time, you know, find out what your favorite Christmas and Thanksgiving movies are, what your favorite books are, that you like to maybe eat Thanksgiving dinner outdoors, even though maybe that's not how you grew up. Or that you, and find a way to agree with others. How many things can you agree with others about? Right? Think about Thanksgiving blessings. How can you focus on things that matter the most? Right? Will you count your many blessings all day long for Thanksgiving? If you will do that for us as a favor, you'll make our day brighter. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We will be live tomorrow as well. And would like to wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. And please remember to reflect on what is most important. Final word, Kurt.
God bless America and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. And Godspeed to everyone, including our enemies. I don't really think we have enemies, but those who may think we're not friends, we hope we can turn you into friends for Thanksgiving. How's that? All right, LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network and get involved in the solutions today, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.